Yes, it is that time. Stardate 01092022. Captain's Log. It's Free Talk Live. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. The phones are open because, well, we are a live call-in radio talk program where you can call in, talk about whatever is on your mind, take control. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass, soon-to-be ambassador. And joining me,
Richie Rich.
And Mark returned. Whoa. From
who let you in? We're not worthy. Who let you in?
He still has the code to the lock.
The thing is that Ian's confinement rules changed, so he asked whether or not I could come to the house here where the studio's done. Uh-huh. The show's done in the studio, and this probation officer said, sure.
So we permission had to be asked of the state to allow you to sit down at this table with us tonight.
Yeah,
and
the
now
interesting
he's going to get served all the subpoenas that he's been avoiding for months.
Yeah, they don't seem to want me at all.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, they've had every opportunity. I've come in and out of the best place to get served a subpoena, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this, is when you travel into the country, there's a list of people who are on the plane. That list of people goes right to the FBI.
Yep.
And if there's a flagged name.
Manifest.
That's it. Exactly right. If there's a flagged name, they gotcha. Coming into the country, I had a situation where I was coming in from Honduras to Miami.
Yep.
And I think this was maybe June.
Okay.
And they called my name on the plane, and I'm like, oh, God.
while you were sitting on the plane?
Yeah, I got to leave first.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's some guys that need to talk to you.
Right. They didn't say that. They're just like, Mark Edgington, could you come down here? You know, come on, and then everybody else can get up after that. And so they did. So I was just the vanguard. People standing right behind me while I'm getting served.
He was doing the royal wave as he walked down the aisle.
No, they served me right there as I walked out of the door of the plane. Because that's it. That's the bottleneck, you know? But anyway, I, you know, hired an attorney and I didn't have to go and do anything for that subpoena. But regardless, it was embarrassing. They didn't want to hear anything about some of the complaints I had.
Okay.
They're like, we're not investigating that today.
Thank you to Free State New Hampshire in one of our chat rooms for giving us the word that we were searching for, manifest.
Excellent.
Shout out for the assistance there. Sometimes, we are human, sometimes our brains don't work as well as we want them to when trying to conjure up verbose vernacular.
Speaking of which, I've been taking magnetic e-resonance therapy for what I'm calling brain damage from COVID.
Okay, well, so many questions. Magnetic e-resonance
therapy. Let's start with
is that Chuck E. Cheese's cousin or perhaps Rich E. Rich's uncle?
Also known as voodoo.
When you do, it may be. I'm going to say no, it's not.
Is this where you got to like play around in like a ball pit of magnets or something?
They spin magnets around and electromagnets around on your forehead, essentially.
Okay.
But
I had a buddy that had the banged it in the shoe thing and he was like, so watch this, bro. And he'd like stand me and like push me without the magnets and I'd fall over because I wouldn't see it coming, and then he'd put me on the magnet insoles and he would push me lighter and I'm ready for it so I wouldn't fall. And he's like, see, magnets improve your balance.
So the question I have,
I wouldn't be able to speak to that.
Okay. The question I have for Mark is it helping?
Yes, the answer,
because like I'm a big proponent, like, you know, some people will be like, oh, it's voodoo and
but those people probably should take a look at the peer-reviewed studies on it first.
Yeah, I am a fan of whatever helps you, right? Because some things work for some people, some things don't work for some people, and this is true in the, we'll call it, the overt medical industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some treatments will work for some people but not others, so whatever helps you as an individual, right? It gets back to individualism, right? Whatever helps you, I'm a big fan of.
As I understand it from talking to the doctor, is that it doesn't help very few people. It takes some time. Like, so you get the therapy and then like 6 months later, everything's sort of truly working. And it's not the cheapest thing. It's $12,000.
Oh, Jesus.
My favorite thing about the planet is my mind.
Get some rare earth magnets at Home Depot for $5.
They're not. Oh. It's not magnets. They have rare earth magnets at Home Depot?
I don't know.
Okay. Magnets? How do they work?
Yes, I mean, it has something to do with magnetism. I don't know anything more than that.
Magnetism without the magnets. All right.
It's not science. It's electromagnets.
Oh, okay.
They add electricity to them.
Are you going
to
become Magneto?
And spin them.
You have the face to be Magneto, I guess.
Magneto's a mutant. He was born that way.
Right, I know, but like.
Spider-Man was bit by a radioactive spider and got the spider's powers, so he's a mutate.
Right, but you could still become Magneto via your magnetic, what is it?
Magnetic E-resonance therapy.
Magnetic E-resonance therapy.
MERT, if you want to look it up.
MERT.
By the way, that is a common name in Turkey. I found that out when you look up
MERT.
MERT. That you, you get a lot of guys from Turkey's name.
Poor guy has to hear a chick moan that. MERT.
Yeah, so welcome back, Mark.
Thank you.
I don't think we've actually said those words here on the air.
I love being back. I'm so delighted to be on the air.
Yeah, we're happy to have you, although we have to apologize to all of the thirsty watchers on our video
streams. Have you looked at me? I'm gorgeous.
Who were expecting Nikki.
Who were expecting somebody different.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an entirely different character to the face. Yeah.
So, but other than that, of course, you know, happy to have you here. And it feels like it's been a long time since you sat in the chair.
It's probably been 6 months.
I guess I
didn't have any reason to come back.
Yeah.
You know, like what would be the point of coming to New Hampshire when I can't be on the show?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also feels like not much changed, right? Like he sits down, he's in the chair, we do the show.
Well, like, I mean, he'd only been doing it for
20.
A couple of decades.
Understood. But it's like that thing when you get together with an old friend, everything just falls right back into place for a short period of time that you're together.
Yeah.
And you go your separate ways again.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good feeling. I like that.
Yeah.
I still, you can't wait for the eventual OG reunification of the founders.
Yes,
the
I can't wait. I I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I miss my friend. I had no idea because I mean, people listen, longtime listeners of the show would have felt the animosity between Ian and I. And there's certainly tension. It's probably has something to do with my own pugnaciousness and his too. And, you know, basically the show is. It's a documentary of a space alien seeing how, dealing with Earthlings. And
wait, which one of you is the Earthling?
Clearly I am. All of us, we are all Earthlings. Ian is just trying to figure out, humans and how they work.
It's like Mark and Mindy.
Mark and Mindy. That's hilarious.
But anyway, I do. I really, really can't wait for the day that I can give my friend a hug. I miss him.
Yeah. And I'm sure our listeners would really, really rally around, you know, a reunification of the founders.
I'd like to talk to my listeners here. We have had double the downloads in the last 3 or 4 months.
Well, it's because I'm here now.
You've been here all along. I think it's Nikki. No, I have no idea what it is.
No, it's probably Nikki and Bonnie. And
I have no idea, but our downloads have doubled. There's half of the people listening to this podcast.
Or, Lord forbid, people are actually taking an interest in freedom and independence and peaceful, you know, interactions, voluntary contracts with other people. And, you know.
Look, if we got Parade, Nikki, and Bonnie out there to get people interested in freedom and liberty, I'd say do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. So when I listen to podcasts, and I have listened to quite a few, many of them focus on the informational. Obviously, Free Talks Live is a radio program too, and sort of started out that way. But I was talking about the downloads and the podcast listeners. And Free Talk Live doesn't provide that. What it provides is basically on-demand listening of a radio program. So it's much more sort of meandering in its delivery, sort of reality TV, or reality radio in the sense that we, you know, real people talking about real stuff that were going on, talking about the news. I don't know that we are an instructional course on liberty. We can give you the basics, but you can probably get that pretty fast on some other show.
603-283-6160. Ask Mark Edge anything.
That you could do that.
More Free Talk Live is on the way. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain,
Rich,
and Mark.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find all sorts of valuable information neatly organized to suit your needs. There's no longer any excuse to ignore this important and world-changing information. If you're already a knowledgeable crypto user, you can check out news.bitcoin.com and get the latest headlines of all the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for everything crypto, like getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news on a very slick and easy-to-use website. Please visit bitcoin.com.
And many people out there listening know something about Bitcoin. And if they're like me, they're getting asked, well, can you explain Bitcoin to me? And then you try to do that. And what it's I would difficult. Recommend, if you know something about Bitcoin, and not that you need the course, but go to bitcoin.com, and I think it's Get Started, and there's some videos there. Watch the videos, not to not to educate yourself, but to see, because there's the first video is 2 minutes long.
Right.
It's not like you're dedicating a lot of time. You just go to bitcoin.com and get started, and there it is. You can then decide whether or not the next time somebody asks you that question, maybe you just want to go to bitcoin.com, get started, and show them that video.
Right.
So that they, somebody who's, you know, put the time in, rather than being put on the spot, can you explain Bitcoin to me? Yeah, it's a lot easier if you just have a video to show them and made by an expert.
Well, and I've, even online on social media, when people have gone to, you know, say one of these videos, the reaction I get, I won't say frequently, but frequently enough for me to mention it, is, okay, I watched the one video, now I got 1,000 questions. It's like, well, watch the second video. Right? It's generally my reaction. It's like, yes, that's good. You've learned something, and now, of course, you have a bunch more questions, so you're inspired to learn about it. Go and, you know, repeat the process that you just went through to learn the one thing and inspired you to have questions. I don't understand why folks can't seem to do that, but it is an indictment against the public education system, of course.
Reminds me of the Babylon Bee headline, you know, wife doesn't know that all her questions will be answered if she just finishes watching the movie.
Right, that's...
yeah. Well, and that's a key sort of a deflection when folks who give presentations, particularly in the corporate environment, I've had to give these presentations, when folks pipe up and ask questions during the presentation, you know, generally they go, we'll have a Q&A session at the end of the thing, and your question may even be answered during the presentation.
Right.
And that usually shuts people up long enough for you to finish your presentation.
Hold your questions to the end.
Yeah.
The difference, though, Richie, is that, you know, some people are verbal and more verbal than others, right? So if you're sitting there and wondering, I wonder what happens next in the movie, you're just giving, you're giving voice to the sort of tension that's going on. Whereas what Captain's talking about is an abdication of critical thinking. So what public school, the biggest crime, and frankly, I went to private school and it was really not much better, if at all.
Yeah.
The biggest crime of school is that it creates a time and a place for learning. And that's not how this species evolved.
Right.
You should be learning all the time.
Right.
And school is just middle class welfare babysitting day prison for working for the children of working parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's what school is. And if you think of it as anything else, then that's when the abdication occurs.
Yeah.
So what people expect when it comes to education is you, Captain, have set yourself up as the teacher of Bitcoin by going and posting online, hey, look at this video. And they're like, well, how come you haven't extended the course? Because I'm not paid to do this.
Right.
You are responsible for your learning in life. You are.
Yes.
And critical thinking is the best way to do that. But, you know, I mean, like, these are the two things that you just don't get. Yeah. You have been taught your whole life to abdicate.
Yep.
I mean, look at the bumper sticker. If you can read, thank a teacher. Teacher didn't teach me how to read.
You know what motivates human beings to learn? Curiosity, right? And if you look at even like charter schools, who fare way better than public schools. They develop at least part of their curriculum to be what's called self-learning or self-directed learning, something along those lines.
Different schools do it differently, yeah.
Yeah, but like a child shows an interest in a thing. And so they go, well, where do you think this comes? They start asking the child questions.
That's the thing.
And so, like, the child's curiosity. Now, within all of these things, you're going to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. You know, you're going to learn a bunch of different subjects based on this thing that you have motivation to learn because you were attracted to a thing. Like, you know, a kid in a room picks up a guitar or something like that. Oh, you're interested in the guitar. Okay, well, there's math involved in music. There's history involved in music. There's all of the things that they supposedly teach you in school involved, but you just learn it based on your curiosity instead of based on rote, you know.
So curiosity is the starting point.
Yes.
But you need to have, at some point or another, a kid needs to have been taught, well, how do I focus my curiosity on a topic in order to learn better? And I know there's teachers listening and retired teachers listening to me right now are like, but I did all that. And to you, I want to say thank you. But you would also agree that there are plenty of people with whom you worked that just read, that they were just regurgitating a textbook. And, you know, they're in there. They've got too good of a job to quit. They should have gone on and done something else in life. But the, you know, the pension and the, you know, the summers off were just too much for them. Yeah. And that's one of the it's one of the problems with offering better and better pay to teachers is the people that were born to teach aren't as interested are still as interested in the job, but the people who should not be there behind the little podium, they're just enticed. You know, they're in that bureaucrat trap. And I'm sure everybody's seen it so often, which is that the benefits are just too good. I got dental, I got vision.
And there's a mythology too surrounding teachers that, you know, it's this this sort of fantasy that, oh, you're going to be shaping the minds of the young. It's
because they do. They absolutely do. That is the molding time when they can be shaped.
And that may be, you know, what draws people to the teaching profession as far as like public school teachers, that kind of a thing. But when they get into school and they start teaching these kids, they find out that it's not all this like mythological, you know, princess fairy tale kind of thing that like, dealing with kids can be a rough gig.
I also want to say, as an adult, I don't want to say abdication is bad, but sometimes it's okay to defer to an expert.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like, I don't have to learn everything about everything. I specialize, and then I pay other specialists to do the specialty thing for me.
I think that you need to be prepared to learn. That doesn't mean you need to learn everything.
Understood.
And so, you know, if only learning is great, if only to learn, I don't want to do this forever.
Right. But if people go like, hey, Captain, I look to you as the Bitcoin expert, that's the guy I'm going to ask about Bitcoin things.
603-283-6160. Coming up, we're going to talk about, well, all sorts of fun things, including the scientific method.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
Yes, come on and press the button appropriately.
Press the button if you're going to start talking,
so I can hear myself. And so you all can hear me, too. And listen to Free Talk Live. We are a live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves and Talk about whatever's on your mind.
Participate in Free Talk Live.
The intros are from a band called Rebel Inc.
Yes.
And they hold the copyrights.
Yes.
So whenever we put anything up on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
It hears the song
mm-hmm.
and then sends the revenue to Rebel Inc.
Yep.
Which has always been a fine arrangement for us. You know, they're happy. They're getting a check.
Yep.
You know,
they're getting like 3 cents.
Whatever they're getting. Who has any idea what it is? And I don't think we have commercials in, but we have something.
Yeah.
That, you know, so they get some kind of revenue. Anyway, and yeah, it's really worked out. So thanks to Rebel Inc.
Yeah, if you enjoy the intro music, please do go check out Rebel Inc. They are online, and you can download their stuff, et cetera, and so on.
Yeah, we've...
As a musician, I appreciate that you guys have, you know, some sort of an agreement with an actual band. You know, I don't know if they're actually, you know, putting out new stuff these days.
But I don't know either.
I don't know that they're not, but I enjoy that. Instead of just, like, sort of paying some guys to produce something specifically for your show, you took something that existed already that was sort of within the theme of Free Talk Live and freedom and liberty and all that kind of thing. So I really like that that's where that music comes from.
At first, we started out with, you know, Ian's sort of favorite long-haired devil music.
Yeah, I remember he used to rotate in, like, some Megadeth and, you know, other various heavy metal stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Grip Inc.,
I think. Yeah, I think it was Grip Inc. and, I don't know, some of a variety of them out there. I don't listen to that stuff.
I do, and I enjoyed that back in the day. But then when y'all started doing the Rebel Inc. stuff,
then we had a consultant who came in who said, you should have only mild music, so that way it doesn't detract from what you're talking about. And I don't, you know, I mean, you pay the guy the money, so you tend to do what he says.
Yeah.
But I think it was a bad advice, generally. I mean, you know, God love him, but I just don't think it was good advice for the show. So we have the mild music that we had as our extra music. So when we're going out, you'll hear this very, you know, subtle stuff that's really just a cue to us to that, you know, the break's coming and, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas the intro, what is the reason not to have the strong, powerful music on the way in? So after maybe a year of having the mild music on the intro and the listeners complaining and all that stuff, we said, oh, you know, maybe we'll talk to one of these libertarian bands out there. And Ian contacted the guys from Rebel Inc. and blink. There we are.
So well, and very attention grabbing.
I know that they y'all had them, or they came, I don't know how it happened, but they appeared at a Pork Fest as well. So,
yep.
Like, anybody who is familiar with Free Talk Live being, like, the number one promoter of Pork Fest, if you, as far as radio goes, media, yep. And all that kind of stuff, who have heard that music would go to Pork Fest and then immediately recognize it when they start playing it. I think that is also very cool.
Yeah.
I had something similar with, I used to have the Kick-Ass podcast before I moved out here. And there's a punk rock band. These guys are a little bit older than you and I, Mark. But
yeah, punk rockers tend to be a little bit older than us. So the ones that actually play the bands.
They're out of Orange County. They're freedom oriented, and even still to this day,
what's
like
the
all
name of them,
they're called 390. 390. Okay. You can find, I think it's 390band.com. They wrote a song that just happened to come across my feed called "I Hate the Government," and as soon as I heard it, and it's a very catchy tune as well.
Yeah.
And it's got crunchy guitars that I like, but it's not. It's not like off-putting music like some of the heavy metal can be. It doesn't have like the death metal vocals and, you know, that kind of thing. It's a very heavy on the melody. Anyway, I used that for my intro and outro music for the Kick-Ass podcast as soon as I heard it, and I became friends with the guys. And they actually they put out a new disc just last year. So if you like punk rock, go check out 390.com as well.
If we're doing libertarian music,
make sure you get the URL right, man.
390band.com. Okay.
If you,
thanks, Richie.
If we're talking about libertarian music, of course, yeah, I got to mention Rush, Objectivists, and one song that I really enjoy, like I have it on a playlist, and every once in a while it shows up, and I get to listen to it. Is it's a country song, "My Country, My Ass," and yeah. It is totally worth a listen. It's got something to excite and piss off everybody. It's just a great. Great song. You know, if you listen to that after you listen to, you know, some patriotic song, it'll really, yeah, really twist you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
Patriotic music? Freedom-oriented music? Not necessarily patriotic, but
I listen to talk radio and podcasts, man.
Yeah.
There was a time when I just had heard Crazy Train enough times on the radio that I just ended up, like, I can't listen to this stuff anymore.
I will say this. I do like metal where I can understand the lyrics.
Yes.
So I tend to gravitate toward like 80s hair metal. Like that's my jam, 90s rap. If I don't want to listen to lyrics, dubstep.
Yeah.
That's about my rotation. Outlaw country.
I got turned a long time ago to soft rock, easy listening, kind of, you know, just the adult standards kind of, you know,
sure.
Soft AC.
I've been listening recently, and I'm with you on the lyrics part. Like, I enjoy the heck out of heavy metal, particularly thrash metal, right, or speed metal, as it were called. There's other genres of metal, too, that, like,
it used to be,
like, bands would put together an album, and one song would be really fast, and one song would be sort of, you know, slow and doomy, and, like,
you and now each of those songs
have become, ballad.
Yeah, each of those songs have become a metal genre.
Yeah.
Now. So, like, when I was growing up, it was just metal, but now there's all these sub-genres, and
because
I enjoy
no
them all.
Anymore.
That's true. But I'm with you on the lyrics part, and I also hate bad lyrics, right?
Okay.
I don't like a song that is like, hey, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby.
Okay.
Hey, baby, hey, baby. It's like, don't repeat the same three words for, and that's all the, like, if you go look up the lyrics online, and it's just the same, like, half a sentence repeated 700 times. I'm like, yeah. No. So what I'm doing now is I'm listening to music without any lyrics at all. I'm
okay.
Listening to a bunch of like, I guess it's jazz, but like jazz has apparently changed where it's more like funk, right? Mm. I get a funk influence in there. Bands like Snarky Puppy, bands like Lettuce. They're actually a Northeast band. They are funk-based, but they have a big horn section.
Well, I like horns. Anybody that gives a trumpet player a job is a hero, yeah. As far as I'm concerned.
So that's kind of like, I mean, I still listen to metal, but like when I'm not listening to metal, I'm listening to funk-based, you know, jazz fusion, I guess is what it's called. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I like that.
Yeah. So... we should talk about some things.
Before we go on, one more thing. I've read that songs now have far fewer lyrics.
Yes.
Meaning that they repeat the same lyric over and over again. And when you said that, the first thing that came to mind for me was a relatively new song, new by my standard, I'm 51, called Gucci Gang. The guy just repeats the word Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Oh, fun.
And just, I mean, it's catchy.
Well, look at the audience they're playing to, man.
Well, what do you mean? Is this a Kids Today kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, tell me what it is about Kids Today then.
They don't have good taste in music.
Okay. That's been true forever.
Understood. But here's the thing. As my musical tastes, I guess, develop as I've gotten older, I've also appreciated my parents' music more.
Mm.
Right? Like, they were right to an extent, and yet music today... Again, for whatever reason, the dumbed down lyrics, right? The repetitive lyrics, the lack of inspiration in the beats, right? The melodies, it all sounds the same, and it doesn't matter who the artist is anymore. And I don't think you can say that for my generation and prior. Like there was distinct differences
in the
pop
brand.
Music and the brand at the time.
So I feel like if you take the top three songs of every year,
okay.
Back as far as you want to go, you're going to be pretty happy with what you're listening to as far as music goes. I mean, you're really just taking the cream off at that point.
I don't know if I like the cream of today.
I'm not listening to much of it. I'm not taking my own advice because I don't listen to music much at all.
Wow.
If I'm going to turn on audio, it's going to be, a podcast or an audiobook or something like that.
Yeah. You guys are informational junkies, and I love that about you. I have music on just sort of as background stuff, like for motivation while I'm doing things. Keep me going. Because if I don't write
music for a living, I mean.
Well, I did. Yeah, that's true.
And for money, how's that?
Yeah. I guess professionally, if you make a dollar, you're a professional, right?
Yep.
I still get royalty checks.
I played City Limits.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Well, the show is live. We do talking. That's what we do. And, well, it's free for you to listen. So, what do you call a show like that, Mark?
You call it Free Talk Live.
What a good idea.
And, by the way, when we say live, The last I checked, now I my information may be a little dated here, okay. Ladies and gentlemen. I'm certainly working full time to keep Free Talk Live coming to you. However, I haven't been on the air for some time. But the last I checked, there are 6 live hours of talk content in the nation delivered during our time frame. So 3 of the Free Talk Live's on Saturdays and Sundays, 7 to 10 Saturday and Sunday. So on the weekend specifically. So that's 6 hours.
Okay.
In that 6 hours, 3 of those hours, last I checked, were completely no competition. There's nobody else live in 3 of the 6 hours that we're on the weekend.
Whoa.
And the other guys, I can't remember their names off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's
but,
fine. We don't need to give them any free press.
Yeah, and that's the reason I've thought of one of them.
I got you.
Nice man. You know, I generally end up at the same table with him at lunch at the Talkers New Media
Convention.
Seminar.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I mean, I'm fond of him or anything. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and diss anybody.
Sure. Yeah, you shouldn't.
Oh, by the way, Sean Hannity, very nice man. He's a very nice man.
Never met him.
Yeah,
it's the character he plays on TV and on the radio. That
he is adamant about his beliefs, but somebody can be adamant and still nice. And you know, I got to say, you know, the last time that I was at the convention, it's been a couple of years now. And he says, "Hey, Mark, good to see you again." You know, and he called my name. And I was just like, that really felt good. Here's the number one talk show in the nation at the time. He was 2.
Yeah.
But now he's number one. Number one talk show host in the nation. Knows my name. Of course, I'm on the same page as he is, being number 25. But
you're kind of a memorable dude too, so you know,
still impressive. Going on.
Which, by the way, we should mention that I'm your host tonight, the captain, and
Richie Rich
and Mark
also here.
Mark and, Edge. Yep.
Speaking of nice things, we're giving funds. We're raising funds for Give Directly. The first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. They locate recipients in need and use mobile money to send them cash, no strings attached. In the past decade, they've delivered $400 million to over 1 million people. Research shows that giving cash to people living in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes that in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. Additionally, cash allows individuals to invest in what they need instead of relying on aid organizations and donors who are thousands of miles away,
right, and this,
to choose for them.
Yeah, what happens is that, you know, people, for all their goodwill, want to put a well in a place where they need mosquito nets.
Yeah.
They want to, you know, send mosquito nets in a place where they need, you know, to have some bunnies.
Yeah.
You know, rabbits and chickens, by the way, are the best, most efficient food sources as far as protein delivery goes. And then, of course, the places that have chickens and rabbits, they need a well. And there's no way for us to know these things.
Right.
And I it feels like to me, because I'm at, you know, the Shire Free Church is matching the funds that go in here.
Indeed.
At a 1-to-1 ratio. So everything you deliver, you donate by the end of the month to January. I got it extended till the end of January.
Yeah.
So please, if you've thought about doing this, I will throw a dollar in for every dollar you throw in.
Up to $30,000.
We're nowhere near it, ladies and gentlemen. So we'd love to have you go and you know, donate funds. I think everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it, and we're waiting on you.
Give.freetalklive.com. Give.freetalklive.com. I have taken, normally there's some charities from back out west that I would give to on an annual basis. I've redirected that money because that's not going on. It didn't go on last year because of COVID. It didn't go on this year because of COVID. So I had some charity money left over. I've redirected that to this particular cause.
Yeah, what they find is that you know, there's different levels of efficiency, but married women are the best people to give money to. Because they're almost always going to use it on the household. You know,
household or the family,
you know,
right.
It's not going to be cigarettes and booze.
Well, and we've even heard, we've covered stories here on Free Talk Live about, you know, places where they can't even deliver food. Like, the food is shipped and it gets to where it's destined to go, but it runs into some sort of roadblock where it doesn't actually reach the people.
Like a warlord?
Yeah, it sits and, you know, it either rots or it goes to the wrong people or, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas if you just gave the people who needed the thing some money, they could go buy it themselves.
Or the government warehouse full of water for hurricane victims.
Right. Or they send medical supplies where they need food, or food where they need medical supplies. It's, yeah.
We were very specific that we did not want not a charity in the United States. And some of the problems you're talking about there are not warlords, but, you know, just inefficiencies in deliveries.
Red tape and all that crap.
All that stuff. Whereas in this case, it's two counties in in Kenya that we're working with in order to, you know, just help. And one of the things they want to do is they want to be able to give money to pretty much every household. And that way, there's no any animosity towards the households that got it versus the ones that didn't, and that sort of thing. So, these are just, you know, very rural places, and the money helps the marketplace allocate resources to those areas.
Yeah, sounds like it's pretty well settled.
And what's the address one more time?
Give.freetalklive.com.
Yep, give.freetalklive.com. One last thing I want to say about Give Directly: These people do not play the game where, you know, there's this game out there, right? We say we match funds.
Right.
But really, they already gave the money, and we haven't. We have not given the money yet. And Give Directly said, we will not do a matching program with you unless it is genuine. So, you know, they don't play those games. And in order for those people to get that, you know, that extra $15,000, no, I guess it's $30,000.
It would be
the extra $30,000, the additional $30,000. We need to raise $30,000.
Right.
And that's it. So it's give.freetalklive.com, please.
Sounds like it's pretty settled, unlike the science. Is the science settled?
Yeah, science is settled. Well, you can't argue with
science.
On some
things it is.
Well, is it, though? Because the whole bit about science is that if new information comes to light, then it may cause you to reconsider what some might think is settled science.
You're just looking for an excuse to not get the vaccine.
Actually, I'm looking for a segue into this story from FEE.
Before we jump into that, I'd like to talk about plate tectonics.
Really?
You know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, it's the continents shifting, when like earthquakes and stuff occur, like one piece of the continent goes under the other and over the other, and this is how like mountains are formed and all that stuff.
You didn't learn that in school.
Actually, I did.
Not government school.
Yeah.
It was not even I'm sure you didn't.
No, I did.
It would be a very unusual place.
I want to see all your class homework, Captain.
It was like ninth grade geography or something.
They didn't teach that stuff back then. It was still not settled science that plate tectonics even existed in the 80s. And you and I are the same age. You're 1 year my junior.
Okay, sure.
Or when we met
so
you,
Florida like, school 72? Versus Wisconsin school?
It could be, but I think that he probably learned it someplace else and just presumed.
I distinctly remember.
Okay.
But, you know, go on.
Tectonics, go.
There were accomplished geologists, people who had...
The science was not settled either way at that point.
The science wasn't even close to settled. This was a radical new theory in the 80s. And, you know, it just goes to show something that we accept as true now, plate tectonics, was pretty radical when I was in high school.
I may have had, one of these teachers who... Well, I don't know, like followed stuff that was within his purview and like was on top of, you know, whatever the new information was and was like, hey, this is a new thing that's going around. And that's, you know, he taught it to us. I don't know.
You're not going to find this in your textbook, but you're going to learn about it today.
I listened to a book called A Brief History of the Universe. It's great. And listened to it on audiobook. And it goes into and explains plate tectonics. I didn't understand it entirely, and it was fascinating just to get.
I did have a very weird government school experience overall in, we'll just say Wisconsin. I don't want to name the city. But, for example, one day in fourth grade or something, they had somebody come in, some lady nobody had ever seen before. You know, the teacher introduced her and gave everybody a piece of sketch paper and a sharpened number two pencil. Mm. And I got before the class and said, okay, hey, I'm Miss So-and-so. I don't remember her name. And she just says, I want everybody to pick up your pencils and the piece of paper I gave you. And I want you to draw a monster. You're going to have a half hour to draw a monster. Just, you know, whatever is in your head, whatever your imagination thinks a monster is, I want you to go ahead and draw a monster. And so... You know, we did that. Everybody drew monster. Now, I had already been sort of toying with sketching, and I drew this like six-armed cyclops, super muscle-bound, looked like something out of a demon out of a comic book or something. And, well, we could tell you more about that
Yeah, I'm dying to know what the twist at the end of this is.
603-283-6160. Did you have a weird government school experience? More Free Talk Live coming up.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness. So you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. A live call-in radio, nationally syndicated radio talk program. Plus, we're on the internet and run some satellites as well. So we could be called a global live talk radio program where you could call in.
It's definitely a global phenomenon.
I believe it is. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Yes, that's a U.S., so whatever the... What's the U.S. code for long distance? Is it like 01 or something?
Just one. Plus one.
Plus one. 603-283-6160. The international code? Plus one? I thought it was like 01 or something.
Well, it's plus one is the international code to call into the U.S.
Okay. Or Canada.
All right. I got you. You could tell I haven't traveled outside of the U.S. very much.
Soon we'll be premiering the ability to call in on the Free Talk Live website.
Ooh.
So we're working on that.
I do want to take just a second and
for our international listeners.
I don't do this very often, but there's some things in the chat room that have been said. Mark and Ian are Free Talk Live. Oh, that's sweet. Somebody says, please bring Nikki back ASAP.
Sorry, guys.
Somebody says, Mark is looking well. Somebody said, this guy is too arrogant. I wonder which one of us is too arrogant.
Oh, that's me.
You
definitely
think?
Mark.
Absolutely.
Definitely, Mark.
He says with no arrogance whatsoever.
Yeah. Screw that guy.
Somebody says, I wonder if a name that I'm not going to mention is going to grace us with a nasty tirade call.
Ah, yes.
I'm waiting on that, too.
Somebody says, Minister. Somebody says, the booster saved me from COVID over Christmas. Yeah, I don't know about that. Ed,
maybe it has.
Ed.
Maybe it has.
Yeah, I think.
You said earlier, if as long as it works for you.
As long as it works for you, that's fine. Yeah,
the booster works for him, fine.
I don't know why that comment is even in here. We weren't talking about the boosters. Anyway.
Maybe they want to start something.
I'm here, but even the show has a newbie. She must be referring to you as a newbie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I was on the first show in November of 2009.
And somebody says, Mark is.
2002, excuse me.
Somebody says, Mark is the smart one, I think.
I've got the Drain Bramage.
Dane Bramage.
Dane Bramage, excuse me.
Bramage.
I can't get that right.
Dane Bramage, yes.
It's funny. I mean, I just don't remember things that I used to remember. It's like getting old. It's like I aged 20 years in 1 week.
And you're sure it's COVID related?
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, I am.
So I felt the same way after getting into an automobile accident. Where I did bop my head a little.
Yeah.
I probably had a light concussion.
Yeah, you did.
But I do remember feeling distinctly dumber since then.
Like total? Like it hasn't improved?
Yeah. Like now, of course, you know, I'm over 40, et cetera, and so on. So part of that is probably like, oh,
you're not healing the way you used to.
And your brain, you know, you don't have the cognitive speed that you did when you were 20, you know, or 25. Or,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
I had the cognitive speed, but I thought about stupid things.
No, I just find myself like struggling more for words. Reading comprehension is a little more difficult for me now, whereas that used to be my strong suit. I used to be able to read something. And then if you asked me anything about it, I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's that and the other thing. And, like, I can still do that, but, like, the long-term portion is gone.
The worst part is reading legalese. Anything written in legal stuff, I mean, I might as well not bother because I just can't even parse through it.
I was going to say the opposite for most, like, pop culture articles today as well. Like, the music is dumbed down.
Yeah.
The writing is dumbed down, too.
Right.
Like, I read something, someone sent me a link or an article, and I was like, this feels like it was written at, like, the sixth grade level. This is not an elite level article at all.
They say that USA Today is written at a fifth grade reading level.
I couldn't handle that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to only have to dumb it down to, like, eighth grade, but now they've, like, gone down a couple of grades or something.
So say what you want about, like, oh, the old guy thing, man. Things are dumber today. It just is.
Those damn kids.
Including me. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have Sarah calling from New Mexico. Oh. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Ah, yes.
Sarah, before you get into it, I got to hear your calls since you've been returned to the air on the Digest. I listen to the Digest regularly. You can go get it at freetalklive.com like I do. And I was just so delighted to hear you back on the air.
Well, I'm here. I'm very delighted to say hello to you too, Mark. I thought all the threats against your wife and your kids got you off the show. You know, they're trying to poke get you all riled up.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're not gonna hurt them. It's just to play with your head, you know.
Yeah, I think so too.
Most of it's to inflict pain, psychological pain. That's what they want to get out of, you know.
Now, the reason I'm off the air really is the bail conditions for Ian. He can't talk to me.
Yeah, the government has said that they can't be in the same room together for whatever reason, you know, even to do the show that they founded and have ran for a couple of decades now.
Oh, so. But they did mandate partners. That Ian could maintain his job and do everything that he could to maintain his job. So keep the job, but, I you know, don't be on with your business partner.
And they did the same thing. I believe they had something similar for the co-host known as Nobody, where you have to maintain a job, but he can't be around his employer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very complicated. So do you like that I'm still a communist? Have you been listening to all of
my
communist comments?
My thought is that you're a genuine person, and you're living out your life in the best way that you possibly can. I disagree with the notions of communism. I don't think they're going to happen on planet Earth. I think that's something for heaven.
Or helicopters.
I'm just so happy to hear your voice. That's how I felt.
Yes. So, but you know, I still want to say being dumbed down, they really like the public really stupid, as we know. And, they still got stupid things. I mean, it's obviously done on purpose. If people become smart, we become rebellious and have revolutions and question authority. That's for sure. So the dumb thing is that I still hear that they have indoor smoking at the casinos on certain reservations. And I'm thinking to myself, how could this go on in
freedom.
The United States?
Well, I'm a quit smoker and no one's more sanctimonious than that. But what I would say is that, you know, tobacco is from the North American continent, and it is culturally something that American Indians would be all about. Plus, you can keep people keep butts in seats at casino tables longer if you allow smokers to stay there and smoke. I wouldn't sit at a table where somebody's smoking a cigarette just because I don't, you know, I'm not gonna do it, but. You know,
and they should be able to set whatever rules they want for their establishment.
It's their establishment, they should be able to.
Yes, yeah. And also from a marketing perspective, and, mm-hmm. you know, this may sound manipulative, but these are just facts, right? Smokers are generally addicts.
They're also risk takers.
Right.
And risk takers. So that's the target demographic that you want in a casino.
Right.
You want risk takers, you want addicts, because gambling is also, can be, an addiction.
Yeah, so Sarah, how much money have you spent at a gambling establishment or even the lotto in the last 10 years?
Well, you know something?
None?
I have not. I don't. spend money at the casino. But the thing is, I love going to the casino for the resort aspect of it.
Okay.
Around here, they got the swimming pool, they got the saunas. I mean,
I would love a good sauna.
To stay in the hotels, and they got massage there, they got restaurants there, they have entertainment venues, they have concerts, I mean, and they got comics there, I mean, they got golf courses.
So couldn't you just go to a resort instead of a resort and casino?
The casino's going to have the performing, the acts that you're going to want to have. Okay. You know, the answer is...
Well, the pool, the sauna, whatever,
yeah,
aside
right,
from
right.
the show.
You know, the casinos are making a calculated risk, and they may be wrong, is that if... Because they're not going to get me to sit at their table. Then again, I don't gamble. And I presume I'm like Sarah. I'm going to spend my money on things that I'm going to get. I'm going to get a show. I'm going to get a massage. I'm going to get a drink at the pool. Whereas when you go and gamble, you might win, you might not.
They have a bar at the pool. Right. And it's they got beautiful scenery. And the thing is that, Mark, what you're saying is that you're right, that the gamblers themselves are risk takers, they're addicts, of course, and they love to blow money. But
hey, thanks, Sarah. We appreciate
like
the call. 603-283-6160. I would like to just remind everybody that none of the things at a casino are provided by communists. Yes, it is Free Talk Live, the live Sunday night edition. In the studios tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Richie Rich.
And Mark Edge.
Welcome back to Mark Edge. If you're just tuning in, it has been a while since you've been here, Mark, so I just want to remind our listeners that you are one of the two founders. You and Ian are the founders of Free Talk Live and all
that goes with it. There are actually some more guys that were founders. They just aren't in the air anymore. You got a guy named Mike, a guy named Eric.
Yeah, okay, so you guys are the remaining founders.
We're the remaining founders.
And the, I mean, really, at this point.
The faces of the show.
Yeah, at this point, you guys have been the faces of the show for a couple of decades. So,
yeah.
You know, if there's somebody, there's a few people in the chat room. I don't know if they're serious or sarcastic or what the context was. They were like, who's
Mark? You never know in the chat room.
Who's Mark? And like, I just wanted to point out.
Well, the good thing about radio is you get new listens all the time, right? So people may not know who Mark is.
Well, you can go to cam.freetalklive.com. We should have some video right there for you.
We'll put up the archival footage of Bonnie and Nikki on that one while we talk over it.
You can see a remarkably good-looking radio pro.
Oh, boy. All right. So we take phone calls here and talk to people. So let's go to another New Mexican, and it's David calling from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's tirade time.
Oh, hey, David. How are you?
Wait, is that like Kool-Aid? Tirade?
That is not the tirade guy I was thinking of either.
Get away. There's another one?
There's another one that I was hoping would call in tonight.
Who's that?
Well, I'm not going to mention it now.
Hope in one hand and, do something else in the other. See what you get most of.
Under the table, baby. Under the table.
So it's ask Mark Anything night, huh?
I suspect I know what the question is, but go right ahead, David.
I bet you don't.
Okay.
So let's make that the first question.
Wait.
But wait a minute.
Are we wagering? I've got 50 cents
no,
on it.
No. Okay. No, we're not wagering.
Canadian silver dollar.
But before we do, well, first of all, we'll play like Jeopardy, everything in the form of a question.
I'm not bad at this.
Mark,
what is hanging up on the collar?
That is funny. Go right ahead.
Mark, have you ever heard me say, because I don't say it very often, that Judge M. Monica Zamora in the state of New Mexico illegally trafficked my children as per the New Mexico Court of Appeals unanimous decision saying that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure that you knew that. So yesterday was one of my children's birthday. Yesterday, same birthday as Elvis, my daughter Paisley. Same birthday. Now it was her
Elvis
birthday,
Paisley.
And Paisley. And did you know, Mark, that on July 2nd of 2007, I said goodbye to Paisley, whose birthday was yesterday, not knowing I would never see her again, and I never saw her again. Did you know that, Mark?
Yeah, I did know that, and okay. My question for you was, since we had the opportunity here, is had you heard anything from your kids in the last couple of months? But it sounds like you haven't.
No, I've not heard.
I'm really sorry
seen,
about that.
not hiding her hair nor nothing in that many years. So my question to you, here's where it gets fun. Why should I care? Should I care about that, Mark? Why should I care?
Because you're human and you love your children.
Okay, good answer. Okay, so now, but it's fun to mock people who, for some reason, people that go into the court system for whatever reason, have some sympathy in many cases, like the Crypto Six. Everybody is rooting for the Crypto Six against Big Brother. Yeah, right. Okay, well, we'll just assume that they are, and I believe that they are. Most, you know, the majority of people, especially your listeners. But there's this strange thing. When Big Brother attacks one parent or another, could be the mother, could be the father, people tend to mock them and don't really give a damn about them. Why is that, Mark?
Well, I don't know that I haven't heard that happen too often. What I would say is that if what you're saying is that you know, calling in about the same thing over and over again results in less and less airtime, I can understand, as a host that has to sit behind that mic that Captain is sitting behind right now, what it's like to manage a show to try to keep things compelling and interesting. I would also agree with you that being it's the family court system is. There's nothing just about it.
Nothing.
And the fact that a guy can be separated from his children and just never be able to see them based on just some vague accusations that have never been proven in any way, shape, or form, I believe is criminal.
Let me stop you for 1 second. In the legal sense of the word and the dictionary sense of the word, there was never even any accusation allegation. There was only insinuation.
Okay.
I would like to take a shot at answering your question as well, because I think this is a bigger issue in a lot of ways as well. It's the idea of the sympathetic victim, right? If you're going to win in court, for whatever it happens to be, you have to be the sympathetic victim. There are certain things, like within the liberty movement, that it would behoove us to put certain people out in front to do activism or civil disobedience. And there's certain people that should be nowhere near the front lines of that. Like, I would never be on the front lines because I'm kind of a bad guy, right? Generally, that's stigma. So you're never going to get a sympathetic judge to look at me and go like, well, we kind of believe him.
Right.
But like a handicapped female of some kind. Whatever, like, oh, they'll fall all over the place for that.
When you see aggression displays in male primates in order to sort of take over the group or the tribe or whatever, it's generally seen as a threat to everyone in the tribe as for their whole, you know, existence. So this aggression display that says I'm gonna be the new leader, I'm gonna be the one in charge, it's gonna upset everything. So we are hardwired against aggression displays.
Right.
Well wait a minute.
David, let me finish this thought on this one, David. I presume you are like you know, in court as you are elsewhere. You're emphatic. You're very clear in your points, and you have an incredibly precise and active mind. And when you get emphatic, I think to the lesser primates that you're, you know, dealing with in that court situation, you just look like a threat.
Or on the radio.
And so they're deciding, should we put these kids with a threat or not, would be what I would say is the sort of human component there.
So Mark has decided that the children belong to the state to do with as they want.
Oh, no,
in
I don't.
Any divorce.
No, okay. I think that this is one of those instances.
But that's what's going on. And the other thing is, do you think from when you're going about skipping along doing your life and you haven't been attacked yet, are you generally already pissed off before you've been attacked? Or is it the attack that makes you angry, the unjust attack?
Look, and anger's a thing.
Let me add one more thing.
Go ahead.
That's a tactic on their part to get you the way you are, so they
can. And as soon as you break, then they control you.
Yep.
No, but you're also making assumptions. Making assumptions because there is a recorded audio court record, and we can arrange for you to listen to it, and I don't sound anything like what I sound like now on that court record, but I get shafted anyway, so now where I'm in a venue where I can speak my mind without getting thrown into jail, then I do.
Okay. again, there's no justice about this and what happened. And I sincerely hope, I know your kids at this point are teenagers, and I'm presuming they're going to be on social media soon. Hopefully you get a chance to talk to them. And I really do hope that.
Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate
it. What happened to him is awful.
Oh, it's horrific.
It happens to American men all the time.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is up next.
So you've signed the Shire Society Declaration and are planning your move to New Hampshire to be around more liberty-oriented people. Next, sign up for the Shire Society Forum at forum.shiresociety.com. There are a bunch of people there who are already in the Shire, and they want to meet you. If you're already in the Shire physically, you should also come by the forums. Remember, not everyone uses Facebook. New people are signing up for the Shire Society Forum every month, so drop in and say hello at forum.shiresociety.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. 603-283-6160. That's the telephone number if you want to join us. We've got some calls on hold. We'll get to those in just a moment. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Captain.
Rich.
And Mark Edge.
We've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Now, Intercoin has launched its investor token worldwide, and for the first time, it's available on an exchange. You can create an account over at xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com with only an email
it's
address.
Xmarkets. You're saying X?
X, E-X.
Okay, sorry.
E-X, that's why I said the E-X markets.
Okay, perfect.
In case somebody doesn't understand what I
said. Yeah, confused me there for a second.
Xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You only have to use an email address so you can keep your privacy completely intact. You can then deposit dozens of different cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin. You can trade them for Tether. You can then buy ITR, the Intercoin Investor Token. Learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org. And now you can buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com. Again, exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world.
Yeah, I think Intercoin is a good choice for hodling long term.
I can't disagree with you. We do take phone calls and put them on the air here on Free Talk Live, so let's do that. Let us start with, we've got Jack calling from Washington State. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live. You wanted to say something either to or about David from New Mexico?
I don't want to say anything mean,
okay,
but he needs to relax a little bit. You know, I don't think I'd let Dave babysit my kids, based on what I know.
As I understand it, he was the caretaker of his young children. Of course, this is him saying so, but the presumption is that he was quite good at it. Anyway, go right ahead.
No, I just think he could be a little bit more...
He's an intense dude.
Yeah, he's intense.
Yeah.
I think, like you guys said, in court, if he's like that...
If he's like
gonna
that,
it's going to hurt his cause, and I hope his cause... I hope the best for him.
Yeah, well, it's really basically his case is over, and there's nothing that can be done about it. He has separate cases of different things that he's always got going. It seems like he cannot help himself but find himself in a court. And he swims like a fish in that water. He's excellent at it.
Well, good to have you, Mark. I've only been listening for about 6 months. So
okay, so awesome did you get to hear me at all previously?
I only heard you when you did a call-in.
Okay.
Not too long
so welcome
ago.
To the newest member of the Free Talk Live in studio.
Yeah, the oldest, right?
That's right, the old days. Yeah, I think I left in June. Maybe it was as late as July.
We'll have to get you all trained up, Mark.
No, yeah, I gotta get in shape.
Dave, teach him how to do
Dave,
first year.
I need a volume and a warm glass of milk every time he comes on. So,
hey, thanks for the call, Jack. We appreciate it. Yes. All right. So moving right along, let us go to we've got Padraig calling, also from New Mexico. Padraig, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, sir. Thank you for, I don't know how far you reached, but it appears to Washington State. But I own property in New Mexico, and I'm a farmer.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen my property taxes go up and keep going up and keep going uh-huh. up. And the lady that's in charge is Tafoya down here. And she has some guy that works under her who's always sending me something changing my property.
Like the value
assessment? Valuation.
Yeah, the assessment. Right. Thanks, Mark.
Sneaky. Whenever the they need more money.
That's correct.
Oh, your stuff's
whenever
worth more.
They need more
turns
money,
out, Padraig's a millionaire.
Yeah.
He's just sitting on all that land. Yeah. Just making all that food. It's let like me, growing money.
Let me tell you something, boys and girls. They haven't helped me pick one weed, plant one seed, or even visited me at my property. They'll fly a drone over and take pictures to see how much I've done.
Oh, yeah.
And then charge me for it. And if you want civil disobedience, I would ask every property owner from here to Timbuktu to just not pay the property taxes. What are they going to do to us?
Yeah, well, and that's the real question. Like, you're right, Padraig. First of all, enough people need to say no, right? You need to, and how you get enough people to all say no, like, simultaneously, that's...
And at the same time.
Simultaneously, yes, thank you. That's the real question. But also, you know, what would they do in that situation? Well, we don't know. Getting enough people together to say no at the same time to the same... organization, and that is the state, right? Organized monopoly on violence is the real problem. I don't have a solution for you.
I'll tell
it's
you
been
what
a dream for a while.
I know what they're going to do, it's you know what they're going to do is they're going to just fine your property, put a lien on you, and wait until you sell. And
I understand
they have a they have a long game here. They've owned that property.
Can I speak for a moment?
Yeah, no problem, Padraig. I just want to get a clarity when it comes to this this notion.
I understand that they're going to get a judge that's elected to sign a piece of paper telling the sheriff and put a lien on my property so that I will sell it to somebody in California, because I've already had offers to buy my property. And
they'll be happy to pay it because that'll be cheap by their standards. And this is how they do it with the old timers is they'd much rather have a new person that's going to be like, yeah, I love this property tax rate. And then the old timers. And they raise the rates and they push the people out and they want the farmers farther and farther afield. It's a nasty business.
So on the air tonight, I would like to ask all the property owners in New Mexico, because I can't speak countrywide, but I would like to ask all the property owners in New Mexico not to pay their property taxes this year.
Nice.
That's what I would ask them. I won't pay mine. I would ask them not to pay theirs and see what happens.
Well, I think this kind of protest would be very effective in bringing the attention of the – and I presume you're paying to a county out there. Is that right?
I'm paying to the state.
It's the state of New Mexico that you pay?
To the county. Yes, that's correct. State of New Mexico is in debt. The county of Sandoval County is in debt.
Yep.
The village of Cuba is in debt.
Yep.
Rick Romero is running for the mayor, and he's the chief of the fire department, volunteer fire department out there, and he ain't worth a nickel.
So here's the unfortunate outcome of what you're asking. You're not going to pay yours. You're not going to get your neighbors to go along with you. Some
may,
but not enough where they still won't single you out, take your property and business as usual.
I don't think they'll do it. It's unwise for them to go and take the property. The wiser thing for them to do is just to. The property taxes aren't that expensive out in New Mexico, as I understand it. So it's just they put a lien on and they put charge him 12% per year.
Yeah.
And then when he sells, he ends up, which ultimately either he will or his heirs will.
Okay.
And then, you know, they get their money in the long term, whether they didn't get it in the short term. And
Padraig, thanks for the call
either
tonight.
Way,
we appreciate it.
Hold up. Before we go, I want to talk about, so in Saipan, the Northern Mariana Islands and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, where I spent a couple of months and I'm a resident, they don't have property tax. And what's interesting about that.
But you can't really buy a property unless you're a native, right?
But the natives can, and they don't pay property tax either. So what happens is that a building will fall into disrepair. And because there's no property tax, there's nothing you can really do about it the government can't really do anything about it. So there's these certain areas that are just kind of derelict buildings, and you can't do anything because there's no property tax to be able to say, you say anything about it and you know, repossess it. So there's an advantage to a small property property tax in order to keep the sort of community looking good. And I just never really thought about that because I'd never been in a place that didn't have property tax.
You're advocating for taxation?
I'm only telling you that there's advantages and disadvantages. There's no right or wrong. There's trade-offs.
Again, well, are you advocating
here's the
for
trade-off.
Taxation?
Allow foreign investment and then sell that thing cheap and let private enterprise develop it.
That would certainly help. But one of the places that's derelict is a shopping mall that was owned by the Japanese.
Okay.
Are you advocating for taxation?
I am not.
Okay, thank
only
you.
Only that there's trade-offs.
I feel much better now. 603-283-6160.
You guys need to be confronted with ideas that are different than your own.
Would you, the listeners, support not paying your property taxes if a bunch of other people went along with you? Let us know. This is Free Talk Live. Come on and listen to Free Talk Live, a live call-in radio program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about anything that's on your mind. 603-283-6160 is the number. We'll get to your calls in just a minute. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Rich.
And Mark Edge.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of that here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it is really taking off now with over 1 million channels, many of which are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment.
Regularly is taken down.
Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime. By visiting video.freetalklive.com. You don't even need to know what you just go there, and there's some video. But if you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com. And then every video archive you watch, you'll help to seed and help keep it online forever. So just visit video.freetalklive.com. Follow us on Odyssey today. That's video.freetalklive.com. Okay. So let's just go right ahead to Richard in New Mexico. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's a lot of New Mexico callers tonight.
Yes.
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. And in about the last year and a half, I'm really becoming confused over this COVID virus situation because almost a year and a half ago, COVID was going to get under control last summer, supposedly, when the weather got warmer.
Well, then all the anti-vaxxers didn't get vaxxed and ruined it for everybody else.
Well, the first thing that these COVID, the experts will say, and I think we should believe them, is, well, we don't know. Like, they don't know.
That's the only thing you should believe what they say.
They don't know. I mean, they tell you they don't know, and then they go on and say things after that, and then we presume that they know what they're talking about.
Well, they tell you they know. They tell you it's safe. They tell you it's effective. And if you go over to the VAERS website, you'll see over 1 million people have reported some sort of adverse effect.
I took the vaccine, and I took the first Moderna shot and got ill from it. You know, nothing terrible. I've felt sicker from other stuff. I then had the Johnson & Johnson shot. I know this is confusing. Believe me, it had to do with travel. And I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's my personal experience.
Now, I know that you had COVID. Did you get the vaccines after?
Yes.
Okay.
No one cares whether you had COVID. I couldn't prove that I had COVID.
Right.
Because no medical professional wanted to see me up here in, you know, quaking with fear, New England. Oh, you've got COVID. Well, don't come to our hospital. For God's sake, you'll kill us all.
Right.
Well, of course, it was their hospital that gave me COVID. But, you know, whatever. You can see there's a little bitterness still.
No.
But, I can't prove that I had COVID. I just know that it's true. And so, no, Iceland wasn't going to let me in to go on a cruise with my mom if I didn't have the vaccine. So it was either not travel with mom or get the vaccine.
So, Richard, what are you confused about regarding COVID?
Well, what happened is we got told when the weather last summer was going to get warmer, that didn't happen. Then when people started giving the COVID vaccine, that was supposedly going to cut down on people getting the virus. Now, since we've had all these millions of people get their COVID vaccines, we're seeing more hospitalizations and more cases all around the United States. And here in New Mexico, there's more hospitalizations and more deaths now in New Mexico than ever. And the restrictive masking policies from our esteemed governor hasn't worked either, except to put a lot of businesses out of work.
Yeah, and the lockdowns, too. Don't forget the lockdowns.
See, just blame the anti-vaxxers. It's got to be them. Everyone else is in compliance.
Right, right. That's the thing, though, is that more people have died. This is a fact, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to the CDC's website and look. More people have died since the vaccine has been rolled out than before it. One would presume the vaccine would have diminished the amount of people dying if it was safe and effective.
Yes.
I never, to me, what I said when I got it is shoot me up either saline, I got to go to Iceland. I didn't believe that it was going to do anything. The Moderna shot told me different, which is it does something. It made me sick.
Yeah.
I don't know whether, I couldn't say anything.
You've also gotten sick on flu shots.
I'm sensitive to flu shots,
There you go.
But it's supposedly a completely different thing.
Yeah, I got you.
Different medium, different everything.
Hey, Richard, thanks for the call. Everybody is confused or like...
They don't know. Believe them.
Yeah, they didn't know and they still don't know. But we're beginning to see, I don't know if we can call it evidence, correlation and all that kind of a thing. But Richard is exactly right. The masks don't seem to have slowed down the spread at all.
Right. If you look at I have a nuance to that statement.
Yeah.
If I was in a room with someone who had COVID, I would want that person to wear a mask. That'd be good. However, what we do see from the data is that you can't discern a difference in a community that has had mask mandates or lockdowns or any of these things based on deaths or cases or any of the graphs, any of the signs. Like people talk about a tsunami of evidence. There's a tsunami of evidence against masks and for masks. If you want to use the adjective tsunami, the noun is a gerund?
And I want to say, if I was in a room with someone who had COVID, it would behoove me to wear my own mask to protect myself, not make it incumbent upon them to protect themselves from everybody else.
This is the difficulty with masks. Masks are more effective in protecting the other people.
But
mask is effective.
I don't want to dwell on masks, but it appears to me that masks didn't really do anything to stop the spread. It appears to me that the lockdowns didn't do anything to stop the spread. It appears to
me... They weren't really lockdowns. They were... I mean, like, what they did was they took the most vulnerable people and sent them to work while the rest, like, the middle class and upper class did weird things in their homes, like washing off their tin cans before they put them in the fridge. And
make sourdough. Everyone was making sourdough.
And it also appears to me that the three different, miraculously speedily developed so-called vaccines, I call them so-called because they don't really follow the traditional vaccine methodology, has done little to nothing to stop the spread or prevent it from continuing.
They were clear about that in the beginning as well. The vaccine will not stop the spread.
Yeah.
It will not stop you from getting it. It will reduce your symptoms when you do.
Well, that wasn't the first thing they said. The vaccine was sold as this is going to we're going to cripple this disease.
Safe and effective, it'll stop the spread, et cetera, and so on.
Well, that was the marketing pitch before they actually had the vaccine.
Then when they had the vaccine, then they're like, well,
now that we've actually run the tests, here's what we know.
Yeah.
So then since none of these things seemed to have worked, I implore our listeners to ask the question, What was it all for?
Well, it could most likely, if we were going to look at it from that standpoint, the government weaponized the common cold in order to cause a dramatic transference of wealth from the poor and middle class to the upper classes. That's the evidence.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to look back and say, why did this happen? Well, I'm not saying the government released COVID.
Right.
Because that would get me kicked off of YouTube for sure. But I am saying that...
Can you wink at the camera when you say that?
It's not even considered a conspiracy theory at this point to presume that the government, that the virus was augmented by the government. Yeah. It's not a conspiracy to presume that it was the United States and China that worked together in conjunction to do this.
There's evidence that they did, in fact, do that.
And again, I'm not saying they released it. I wouldn't say that because I don't know. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and apply incompetence to this.
Government incompetence?
That's what I say.
So it snuck out of the lab.
You know, they were doing their little tests and they released this stuff. And then what's the result? The result is the largest transference of wealth in human history.
Yes, this is medical tyranny, is what I call it, because control has to be it's the only, if you look at what has been done and you look at who and why, or you try to just even surmise what that might be, it's all about control. They just want more control over you.
What's breathtaking to me, and only the hypochondriacs can possibly be the ones that still continue to believe Fauci, but that anybody listens to this guy. Why are they putting this guy on the... I mean, why does any producer say, yeah, let me get Fauci? If I had him on here, I'd lambast that dude.
More Free Talk Live coming up. Hour number 3 is on the way.
The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20,000 liberty lovers who've pledged to move to New Hampshire and get active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. Perhaps you're trying to figure out what part of New Hampshire should be your destination. If so, consider Keene. You'll find more than 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com. Keene is famous for its historic, publicity-generating activism, as well as being the liberty media capital of the world. It's home to freekeene.com, New Hampshire's destination for liberty activism, news, and opinion. For years, we've been compiling over 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com, where you'll learn about some of what's happening here and what makes Keene a great place to live. If you love liberty, you'll probably enjoy anywhere you end up in the Shire. But do your due diligence first. Please visit move.freekeene.com for the full list of over 150 reasons to move to Keene. That's move.freekeene.com.
Free Talk Live.
Sunday, the weed eater tractor pulls. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. Mark Edge, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. In case you're wondering what kind of babble you're listening to, the show is called Free Talk Live.
Yeah, they don't call my kind they don't call them hillbillies. They call them rednecks where I'm from.
Aren't you from Florida?
Yeah, Eastern Manatee County, specifically. Orange Groves, alligators.
Is that northern or Florida, southern man. Florida?
Tampa Bay.
Okay, southern, definitely. Okay. Now, I lived in Panama.
South Florida is how we call it.
I lived in Panama City, Florida, for a period of time.
Okay.
And so
Alabama.
I call it Southern Alabama. Because it's Southern Alabama. You can learn how to talk like this. When you're down there, you know, I had actual moonshine from some Alabama folks from Opalaca. They brought it down.
I had to come up here for moonshine the first time.
It was fantastic is what it was. I mean, like, you know, it'll burn your face off, but, like, I couldn't breathe when I took the shot. I'm like,
yeah.
I thought I needed, like, the Heimlich maneuver, except, like, there's nothing to expel. So, anyway. What were we talking about?
It's the start of the hour.
So oh, yeah. Free right Talk there. Live.
There is an article that we started from Fee.
We actually haven't even started.
By started, I mean you talked about it.
And he mentioned it.
I mentioned that
it's been all calls wall to wall.
We might get to it. Well, at some point you had said, "Hang on."
Which,
before
by the way,
we go there.
I want to point out what a compelling talk show host I am, in so much as it's been 2 hours, and the first half an hour was me rambling on about whatever. Well, and then that was, the rest had been wall-to-wall calls.
That was like just sort of your welcome back, right?
Yes, welcome thank you. Back. Thank Mark. You for that. I
Captain
that.
Tried to segue into the article, and Mark went, hold on a moment. Yeah. We're not doing that yet.
And that was like an hour and a half ago. In the studio, it is myself, the captain.
Rich.
And Mark Edge.
And speaking of Mark, we have Major Payne calling from Michigan, and you wanted to have some fun with Mark, Major? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't get the same commercials when I'm on hold as I do when I'm listening to the regular radio.
So yeah, that's true.
Different chains of commercials and whatnot. But like about 7:30, a commercial came on, and the opening line was, "Get the Edge." And it was for some male enhancement pill.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like they knew you were here, Mark.
I am enhancing. Yeah.
Compelling and enhancing.
Compelling and enhancing, yep. Indeed.
You gave all of Northern Michigan hardwood and didn't even know it. How about that?
They.
And here I thought not having Nikki on the show would be a detriment to the like sexual attractiveness of
she
the show.
She is getting really good.
Well, she's awesome.
I've been listening to, you know, for. And. You know, she's a good host.
She knows when to pipe in and stuff, mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's all relevant what she has to say. Her perspective is unique because she has training in the medical industry.
She doesn't mind sitting in, you know, a room with all males. I mean, that's been our difficulty is that we just this sort of momentum that we have, this masculine momentum, and the ladies don't want to come and hang out with
Sadly,
us.
Sadly, she got bumped for you, but you know,
yeah. Well, I had a bunch of Richie.
I get bumped next week. That's why I advocated.
Ahead,
I wonder if Nikki ever watched Easy Rider like I told her to. Nick, you guys remember that scene when they're sitting on the campfire?
I don't think I've seen it.
It's been so long since
I saw that
movie. You
have not seen Easy Rider?
If I did, it was like made for TV, you know.
That's a cult classic. Well, this scene wouldn't have been cut. They're sitting around a campfire.
Okay.
And they're riding their bikes and whatnot and camping. Anyway, one of them pulls out a flask of whiskey or something and whatnot, and one guy takes a shot of it and pulls his hand down, puts one hand under the other, and flaps it like a bird wing. Goes, meek, meek, meek.
Maybe we'll just pull up that one scene for her.
It was funny. Anyway.
Hey, go ahead, Major. Hurry up.
Okay, yeah, so I think I finally figured out why Fauci's gets paid more than Biden.
Oh, really?
He spreads more manure. He spreads more manure.
He's right? Effective in that
and
way.
That makes the farmland grow, and then they can raise the taxes in New Mexico.
Hey, thanks for the call, Major.
The
we appreciate
thing
it.
About the Biden admin is the fake White House press conferences.
Ooh.
Right? Like, they have this stage set.
Oh, it's all staged.
Understood.
Yeah.
But they have the real White House, and they don't need to build a fake White House set to do this.
Is this outdoors, though?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It's just a set. It's a set piece.
They have multiple.
With fake windows, and they put weird stuff in the back of the windows. And
yeah, they
it's bizarre.
They have multiples of those. And that's just so, like, if there's any sort of, like, threat against that particular geographic location, that somebody might get fooled.
Okay. When, are they expecting a threat on the actual White House, then? Is that the reason why he's not there?
You know? Or, you know, he's doing something in a different geographic location, and they don't want to, like, fly him all the way back to the White House to do the thing. And so
all right.
Just, you know. And they it's probably portable, too. It's probably this set that they can set up and tear down somewhere, wherever they have a room big enough to do so. It's all very
they
Hollywood.
They just unfold Air Force One like a children's toy?
It's all very Hollywood. if you pay attention to, like, Hollywood
production.
Those
C5 galaxies, if you just open up the back of those things, just flip it out. I mean, you could put a whole set in there. They drive tanks in those things. I'm sorry, yeah, Captain.
It's okay.
Mark was visualizing what
I was. It really just took my mind.
Have you ever
else.
Been to a convention?
Yes.
And you know how there's vendors at a convention?
You mean comic books or furries? I'm sorry.
Either or. Doesn't matter. And you know at a convention, they have like vendors, people who set up tables and booths.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
stuff.
Great.
And it's these
the
booths
the
that they
convention.
Have are all collapsible. You sure. Set them up, you take them. It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's just the White House version.
Okay.
Of their vendor display booth.
It seems uniquely a Joe Biden thing.
This is
or
brought
it's more
up
a, noticeable with this administration.
Please don't
a
chuck
question
that sword at me.
For I am holding a what is this? A letter opener?
Oh, yeah?
Shaped like a samurai sword.
I've got scissors.
This brought up a question for me. So recently, I guess this was September. The Biden administration was you know in charge when the military dropped $1 million bomb on a.
$10 tent.
Minivan full of
right.
Children in Afghanistan. And you know how this does to me. I just get all whipped up when these politicians murder people around the world and
you and me both, brother.
No one cares? You know, like, here I go on Facebook. I'm like, you know, does anybody feel responsible for this? And here's the question I have. If you voted for Joe Biden, are you responsible in some way, because you put him in the White House, for the murders of those 10 kids? Are you responsible? I mean, it seems like you'd be some kind of lesser included accessory or something like that from a legal standpoint.
Sure. I mean, this
if you
is
pay your taxes. You're a financier.
You pay your taxes under duress.
Isn't this the same? We're going to call it ethical question, perhaps moral question, where there are people who say things like, "Well, Hitler actually didn't kill anybody."
It's an interesting question,
yep. Right?
Hitler did kill one person.
Okay, all right, Hitler. But like, you know, when you're talking about the millions,
Hitler
of people,
did kill Hitler.
You're talking about the millions of people who died.
I understand,
you know, under his watch, right?
Right.
The same thing with any president, right? Obama bombed a whole bunch of people. Bush bombed a whole bunch of people. Trump bombed a whole bunch of people. I'm sure Biden continues bombing people.
The funny
people.
Thing about Trump is that there's no documentation. He put such a gag order on the military that we weren't getting the information we're getting otherwise.
The documentation exists. They just stopped releasing it to the press.
Okay.
So either all those politicians are guilty or Charles Manson is innocent.
Charles Manson didn't kill anyone.
Right.
Right.
Right. So is it the ethical question of, you know, are the people responsible for people dying, the people dropping the bombs, or is it the politicians giving the orders to the generals who then give it to
the rest of the... Is
there
a duality of guilt? Because someone pulled the trigger or pressed the button, and they are the most immediately responsible person.
I'd say that, so I would say that they are guilty also. Now, look,
okay.
So for instance, if there's a murder, it doesn't have to be one person that goes to the death penalty for it.
Okay.
It could be 10. It depends on how many people were involved.
So in my scenario, Charles Manson gives the order, also as guilty as the person with the knife and the stabby.
That would be correct.
Okay.
And that's how it happened with Charles Manson. So therefore, the president is guilty. And then, by that standard, I believe everybody who voted for him is too.
I'll take it.
Now, I would say in the case of Biden that you had a reasonable presumption that since he was the vice president over Obama, he was going to do what he did, and he did it. Under Trump, I'd say, well, since it wasn't released to the press, I might give you a pass, but certainly I wouldn't with Bush or
Clinton or
any of those. I think you could make the argument that a politician who had never been in the office of president, who didn't say that he was going to kill people, that if you voted for them, that you might have a pass.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Should politicians be held, or are they responsible for all of the murders under their watch? Yes, it is. Free Talk Live. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to this Sunday night edition. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us in the conversation tonight, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Richard Rich.
And Mark Edge.
Oh, we got the whole name in there.
Yeah.
Nice. Ooh, fancy.
I just want people to think there's not another Mark, you know.
Yeah. Mark.
Marky
Mark. Mark. Mark.
Mark.
Mark. Marklar. I don't even know if we should start this story that we teased.
Well, we got to.
Okay.
What else no are calls. We got to go.
Well, we have other stories that'll be, shorter.
Oh. Yeah, I got time. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. All right. So this is from FEE.org, which is the Foundation for Economic Education. It is titled, Why the Bastardization of the Scientific Method is So Dangerous.
Because it perverts the science.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't have to read the article.
All right, thanks, there you go. Sorry. Buried that one.
The subtitle here, I think, is a very powerful statement. It says, when married to power, an exaltation of science can have disastrous effects.
Well, I think that I exalt science. It's people calling what they're saying science.
When married to power. is the caveat.
Well,
when you're saying things like trust the science, but you are a person of political power, right? That is what creates sort of the undesirable situation.
Judge Dredd, Dr. Fauci, I am the science.
I wish these people in power would trust the economics. It's a soft science, right? You know, it's considered one of the sciences. I wish they'd trust economics and stop just printing money willy-nilly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's pretty clear what's going to happen. These people don't trust the science. They just say things to get you to do what they want you to do.
Huh. I think they understand the economics, and they act the way they do because they know it benefits them. They can't be that dumb.
Oh, I know they know the economics. And, you know, that's all. The ultimate here is that Americans have allowed COVID. COVID is the watch the birdie while they.
The sleight of hand.
They just right. came right in and they created all this money. And where'd the money go? They created half of the U.S. dollars in existence.
Yep.
Have been created in the last 2 years.
Yep.
Now, you could look through M1, M0, M1, M2, M3. You could still find those shadow stats. The government doesn't report those things anymore because they don't want you to know them. These numbers vary, but it is not untrue to say half of the money in existence has been created. Yeah,
multiple sources have confirmed this.
So where did that money go? Well, certainly some checks were sent out.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
they stole your purchasing power and then gave you a $1,200 stimulus check.
Right. And in order to, you know, be able to buy whatever it is you bought. But
well, it was two rounds, to be fair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Stimulus,
but, like, it wasn't enough for anybody to even, like, really pay, like, a month's worth of expenses.
Right. But they gave the vast majority out to cronies yep. and corporations.
Oh, yes.
Corporations, right. bankers, millionaires. These people got the vast majority of this money. And it was a huge transference of wealth.
Yes. So the largest, I think, in history.
Yep. So their purchasing power is not as affected as the average American.
And it's still, well, it doesn't, yeah, for them, it's no big deal. And it never was a big deal. You know, they're buying organic food and paying three times the price anyway, because, you know, that's what they're going to do. Yeah. But, I mean, it's and to watch Americans just continue. This is the organization that robbed you. This is the organization that was responsible for the creation of this virus. Stop listening to them. Yep. I'm not saying every word that comes out of their mouths is a lie.
Oh, I am.
Oh, no, it's not. There's no liars aren't effective if they lie all the time.
Okay, but it's a better idea to assume that they're lying than to assume they're telling you the truth.
They are creating a world in which you don't know what is truth and what is fiction.
Yeah.
It's the worst kind of lie. It's gaslighting is what they would call it. So, I mean, you're not living – if you're listening to what they say, and by they, them, and those, I'm referring to the government, the mass media, all of these people, just like everything out there. If you're letting this control your life, you're their pawn. You're their peon.
Agreed.
Yep.
So statements like – the science is settled and believe in science have been, perceived and accepted more so in society. And maybe it signals a growing trend. Statements like this present two major problems. First, science is determined to be the final and indisputable. Second, it is accompanied by a value or moral judgment. For example, scientific studies indicate that wearing a helmet can reduce head injury by 48%, serious head injury by 60%, traumatic brain injury by 53%. While it takes little effort to align the science with such a matter, I intend to demonstrate that an application of the first behavior is contradictory to the foundation of science, and the second lies entirely outside of its purview. To establish common ground, we begin by reviewing the merits and fundamentals of the scientific method. First, an observation is made, followed by a question regarding the observation. A hypothesis is then formed that could potentially answer the question. A prediction about future results based on hypothesis is then tested by experiments. Analysis of the results of the experiments are utilized to confirm or reject the hypothesis. If the results seem to demonstrate that the hypothesis is correct, then confidence begins to build in the predictive power of the hypothesis and its ability to describe the real world.
If the results, that sounds like the scientific method, yeah.
Right. And so then you get results out of that, et cetera, and so on. When common ground is established, the first major problem can be addressed. It is, ironically, anti-science to ever declare that the science is settled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can, I think this is a pedantic point. Not to say, I think you can operate as though certain science is settled.
Gravity?
The Earth is round.
Well, I mean, some would
spheroid.
There are plenty of kooks in the world. I agree.
Are, that's there true, are spheroid, very yes. few characteristics of the scientific method that substantiate the claim. Science... Since the scientific method is based on empirical data in relation to a hypothesis, it is reliant on the senses and perceived experiences. This means it's wholly dependent on the past.
So it's subjective.
Science cannot properly predict the future. It can only model what has happened and make a reasonable prediction about what could happen. Scientific law hangs on statistical probability. So,
yeah.
Yeah. The probability that gravity, you know, isn't sort of a law, quote unquote, very low.
Yeah. Right?
The sun will rise tomorrow. The pencil will hit the ground if I drop it.
Right. These are probabilities, not settled science.
I say it's settled science. I'm willing to. I think that this point is overly pedantic that they're making, and that it diminishes what it is that they're trying to say.
In addition, since man is not omniscient, the future will forever remain unknown. As man continues to explore the physical world, there always exists the possibility that enough data will accumulate to falsify or at least cast into doubt a well-established scientific conclusion.
That's true. The possibility to cast into doubt but I mean, you know, in all likelihood, you know what's going to happen based on cause and effect.
Because of these conditions, statements declaring the science to be settled are altogether unscientific.
All right.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
The new fourth edition of Healing Our World, The Compassion of Libertarianism, will take your understanding of liberty to a deeper level and has over 1,300 updated references, new cartoons, and a foreword by Dr. Ron Paul. With discounts for multiple book purchases, the fourth edition of Healing Our World is a great gift for the liberals, pragmatists, environmentalists, and Christians in your life who think libertarianism is cold-hearted. Get yours today at healing.freetalklive.com and use promo code FTL for a $5 discount.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Rich.
Mark.
Edge.
Just Mark Edge.
Like,
it goes back and forth.
That Dane Brennan really has a thing to do. Did you just forget your last name? Or?
No. Okay. It's made up anyway.
Mark, with a K.
Is Captain Kickass the name your mom gave you?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Richie Rich? There you go.
What can I say?
Although, in retrospect, it might be the name she wished she'd given me.
Mrs. Kickass, we have to call you into the principal's office.
Can you imagine that? Kickass? Like, roll call, right? Yep. Like, Bueller, Kickass? Kickass.
Yeah, that'd be funny to see that happen.
We're going to continue talking about this article from FEE, why the bastardization of the scientific method is so dangerous. But before we do,
my mark is anti-science all of a sudden.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. Why do you hate science, Mark?
Why do you hate the science? Are you a science denier? Do you deny science? I want to say thank you to somebody who is a platinum subscriber to the AMPS program over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's Dennis W. And he gives us an amount of money. Platinum is $50.
I don't know the answer to that.
Remember. It's the highest level, I think. That you can give more than you know that, but the platinum level is pretty high. Big thank you to Dennis W. What this money goes to, if you become an AMPS subscriber over at amps.freetalklive.com, is it goes to get this radio program onto more radio stations. We're on
pretty effectively
somewhere around a couple hundred radio stations.
Yeah.
Last count, I think it was 185 or something like that. Might be higher now.
I wouldn't be able to tell you the number, but it's usually between 185 and 200, and we often grow in spurts.
It's true. We could be on 250. We could be on 300 radio stations. It's all up to you. So if you're listening to this program and you enjoy the hosts, you enjoy the content, you enjoy, you know, things from a perspective of prosperity and freedom, liberty, peace, all of that kind of thing, then consider becoming an AMP subscriber and helping us get the message out to more people over at amps.freetalklive.com. You do get some perks if you join. There's an AMPs-only podcast and some other fun stuff, but that's not the reason to contribute. The reason is because you enjoy the program and want to see it grow. So thanks again, Dennis W., for being an AMPs subscriber. We appreciate you. All right, so the science.
I was thinking settled science, according to Mark.
It's all weird science. Science is never settled. That's the whole point of science. It's like some evidence comes along to refute something that, you know, that science has, you know, said, or that you believe because of science, then you have to be open-minded enough to reconsider your position.
I will agree that the pedantic point that science is never settled is true.
Concession from Mark to move along the conversation.
Oh, very nice. Wow. Hey, regarding the statement that you made earlier, Mark, about I will not say that, blah, 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 blah. a good audio editor could just slice that out to where, like,
oh, yeah,
you,
they
actually
do it all the time to me.
You actually said the thing that you said.
Look, on
say.
The internet, if you want to go hunting for it, you can find Mark Edge saying absolutely anything, because I'll have paused after every word and before every word, so that a good audio editor can just pop it all in. And I've got 20 years of live radio out there, 3 hours a day. We used to do this. I used to do this show 6 days a week.
Sure did.
For a very long time before we sort of opened it up to the amateurs.
Coming in 2042, Robot Mark.
Boy, I sent that stinger past you guys and you didn't do anything?
We are the amateurs.
Okay. I
mean, I've got, a few years doing this the decades.
Oh, here's the Mark Edge picture.
Oh.
Yeah, this thing's got to be 10 years old.
It's
Look at the difference in gray.
So, I just want to say, in the multiverse, two Marks can occupy the same space at the same time without the vortex collapsing.
That's the picture that we had up to honor Marks when he couldn't be here.
That's facsimile, Mark. In fact, one of our other hosts, Aria, had a plan to create an entire full-size cardboard cutout of you, Mark, when you were sort of...
Lord knows what Arya would do that cutout afterwards.
When you were sort of hosting remotely. Yeah, that's true.
A late night.
Do I have anything to say about that? I mean, good Lord.
And too many left swipes on
it. Right.
Having been inspired by her tale of what she's going to do, you were remotely co-hosting for a minute, and I took it upon myself to just quickly screen grab, you know, the first thing that popped up under the internet search for Mark Edge, and print it out and tape it to the chair. So we had, this is facsimile, Mark.
Yep. This picture
reminds, black and gold.
I do that on purpose. Yeah. I have a lot of black and gold outfits that I wear to different conventions. The black and gold are the colors of libertarians.
I just want to describe this for the listeners because they don't know. This is a full color printed out face shot.
I'm holding it up at cam.freetalklive.com right
now. Yeah, it's it looks like I don't know what do they call it when you're an actor or something, you put together your portfolio.
It's a headshot.
Headshot, thank you. Yes. So, and then Mark is holding it up, you know, next to himself. He's looking at himself now, longingly, I might add.
Well, I do feel longingly about the young man in this picture. I think he was probably about 40,
reminiscing
maybe
on the handsome devil that was.
I feel like one of those authors where you have the good picture on the back of the book that's 20 years old. Because, I mean, this is not me now.
I recently stumbled upon a photo. A friend of mine sent it to me from 2013. And I was going to buy some property in, the high desert in the state of Washington near a lake. And I fortunately did not buy that property. But I had, almost no, I mean, I had a goatee, but it wasn't long at all. Mm-hmm. It was just tight to the face.
Yeah, you've got a ZZ Top goatee kind of thing.
I do. And there was no gray. I was about the same weight. Yeah, the weight didn't change.
No. I mean, he said you have a ZZ Top goatee, and that is half as long as
Not quite there.
Okay.
Takes a while to get there.
I know.
Whenever ZZ Top is brought up, I have to mention the fact that all of the guys with guitars have the long beards. The one guy who doesn't have a beard is the drummer. His name is Frank Beard.
Yep. So he just need one.
Right. All right. So anyway, back to this article. The second major problem here, it may have more perilous implications when thoroughly examined. In the preceding discussion, it's clearly shown that science is only able to approach statistical truth based on empirical evidence. Science is, however, utterly unable to tell us what is right or wrong. There's nothing naturally occurring within the scientific method that empowers it to make value judgments or moral decisions. It cannot tell us what is good, bad, better, or worse. In essence, science is never able to say should or must.
What a bunch of crap this is. Okay, so if science is good for anything, it's to predict outcomes. And yes, it doesn't take a genius to predict a good outcome from a bad outcome. Now, there's certainly some situations where an outcome can be good for one person and bad for another.
Correct.
But, like, you know, should I stick my face in a beehive and get stung in the face 50 times? Science empirically and logically tells us, no, this is a bad idea.
Well, there's still going to be government
science
funding
doesn't
to do
tell
the
you
experiment.
That. Oh, God. Science does not tell you that. To return to our previous example, science may conclude that wearing a helmet prevents head injuries in a motorbike accident, but it's powerless to dictate that motorists should wear helmets. To do so is to make a value judgment that can only be made by individuals.
An individual reading the science should probably come to that conclusion.
The thing I like about helmet laws is that they, we don't have enough systems in modern society to cull the stupid, the careless, and a variety of other things. You should let people choose not to wear a helmet.
Thank you.
And it takes. Yes.
Thought he was calling for helmet laws.
No, I'm not calling for helmet laws. You should let somebody stick their face into a beehive if their value judgment says this is cool.
I think you should, but science should predict what the outcome of that is.
And it does.
Yes,
in that respect.
Stick your head in an electromagnet, let it circle around your head and see what that does for you.
It helps.
As Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises stated, there is no use in arguing about the adequacy of ethical precepts. Ultimate ends are chosen by the individual's judgment of value. They cannot be determined by scientific inquiry and logical reasoning.
Why don't economists get better quotes?
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Final segment of this Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. If you missed any of tonight's broadcast, you can, of course, find it shortly after we're done or tomorrow over at Free Talk Live. We are live 7 nights a week from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you want to call and get your voice on the air, talk about whatever's on your mind, please call between those hours. I realize some of you may be listening, you know, outside of those hours. Not everybody who broadcasts.
The vast majority of people who are listening to us are listening to us outside of the 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. time frame. They're not listening to us live. We are live on many radio stations across the United States, but many delay broadcast. And then beyond that are, you know, hundreds of thousands of podcast listeners
right.
obviously aren't listening live because the very nature of a podcast is recorded.
So again, if you want to call and get your voice on nationally broadcast radio, nationally syndicated radio, 603-283-6160, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., 7 nights a week.
And the nature of the show is that you can change the topic as well. So if you're hearing this whenever you are and you want to discuss it, call in and rediscuss it.
I think one of the best things for callers to do is if you want to call but you're like, I don't know what to say, is ask a question about, well, in a libertarian world, what about this? It really does seem to be the bread and butter of Free Talk Live where we really excel. You know, is that, hey, you know, we would, I think that in a liberty world, we probably would do things differently.
In an actually free society, what would, question mark.
Lob us a softball so we can make ourselves look good and knock it out of the park.
Well, I mean, they could call in about, well, tell me what policing would look like in a liberty. You know, I mean,
right.
Remember, the Achilles heel, as far as the rest of the world's concerned, is cops, courts, causeways, and killers. It's, you know, police. Like, who? Well, who's going to handle police? Who's going to come to your house if there's a fire? I've, you know, retired fireman.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a.
I know what's going to happen.
I had a meme that I posted recently, and it was this. It said, how come a McDonald's drive-through worker, a 24/7, you know, late-night person,
is able to de-escalate
a situation way better than police? And the answer beneath that question was, because they'll get fired if they don't.
Yeah, I guess that's. I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
All right, so, guys, I want to talk about beards.
Yeah, you had an during the break. I find this ironic because, well, Richie's a beardo.
Yeah.
And I'm a beardo, but you are clean face.
Winter beardo. I will grow out a winter beard and then either style it or shave it off in the springtime and then restart it.
But
later.
You don't really
it's
ever like
free face muff.
I don't remember you being clean face. You'll take it down and pseudo goatee, but like.
Right.
You know, it's never really gone, right?
Sometimes it is gone. This past year, I decided to do, like, you know, the long handlebar mustache whatever. Yeah. But I'm not attached to it at all. Like, okay. I will shave it in
it
a
is, however, attached to you.
For now.
So, I like facial hair. I like, you know, there's some guys that just look great in it. My personal feeling on it is that if I grow it, you know, there's going to be food in it. And, you know, it's going to be bacteria near my mouth.
And I'm just asking because I don't know. I think I've only seen you clean faced or maybe some stubble. I don't think I've ever seen you. Are you capable of growing? Some men aren't capable of growing a beard.
Yeah, there's a few pictures I'll send you. I just ran across some today. A few pictures of me with a goatee, but it's the only thing I can grow.
Okay. All right.
Or a Van Dyke, I believe, is the proper terminology.
Now, we did bring up ZZ Top earlier, so, of course, the main guys...
That's what got me thinking about it.
The main guys have these long, really long beards. The drummer, he's clean-faced, but his name is Beard, so they're all bearded as far as I'm concerned.
So, I, you know, grew up in a time frame when I was told respectable men don't wear beards.
Mm.
And, you know, Big Jim Davis, the voice of WOR, middays, Ian and I, he was our boss and, you know, great radio man.
And there's a Greek quote that says, only women and children shall not have beards and I serve neither.
And that's true. And they, but what Jim would say is that, look, you know, it was Gene Autry. He worked for Gene Autry for a time.
Okay.
The singing cowboy. And he said Gene Autry wouldn't allow any of his male workers to, any of his workers to have a beard. And... Jim believed, you know, he was convinced by this, you know, he's like, which surgeon are you going to trust? The one with a beard or the one without? And I was like, I don't know. Let me think about
I kind of want to suggest that may be a Southern thing because like, again,
well,
I
he wasn't Southern.
What it was.
Gene Autry is out, California.
Near as I can tell.
Still warmer climate.
But this was 1950s and 60s.
Okay. Yeah. Near as I can tell, what Mark is talking about is something that was akin to the like successful corporate world.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted to be a businessman, suit and tie, briefcase, so like the old school 1950s era, you had to be clean. You couldn't have the beard. Now, if you're like a lumberjack or, you know, a boatman of some sort, a fisherman, you know, beards are the thing that you would do.
It's winter in New Hampshire, man, and I got to make rounds outside. This keeps my face warm.
It does.
It's also weird to me, since we're talking about beards, that almost every state that I've lived in has some phrase similar to this. Like you were just talking about the prerequisite New Hampshire beard. Right. Now, I heard the same thing in Washington. The prerequisite Seattle beard. Right.
Yeah, that's more
when I was climate. In Wisconsin. The prerequisite Wisconsin beard.
These are all like northern states where it's cold part of the year.
Colder.
Man.
Yeah. And Washington. I mean, it barely
okay,
snows,
but like
in Spokane, we got
I just want
May
people
weather.
To realize it's not specific to any given state.
OK. Well, but what he's saying is the guy from California, like doing work in Florida, they're like, "Oh, you shouldn't have a beard at all." Yeah, because it's warm. That thing will like heat your face up unnecessarily during most of the year.
I can't wear a beard because I play with it too much. You know, pull on it and
that's
you know, touch my hands.
Like, this long enough.
Yeah, well, there's bacteria on your fingers, and then now it's hanging on your face.
It gives you something to do when you look at others in incredulity.
Fine.
Look, I'm going to stroke something. It might as well be the beard.
There you go. That's better for everybody.
I did have a girl tell me in the bar I was doing this, and I was having my cocktail, and she was leaving, and she's like. Make sure you think of me while you're stroking it.
Wow. I think you should have talked to her a little more.
Got the thigh ticklers right up there.
I'm just curious whether this particular, because this is obviously not a true statement that you know only serious men, or only people who aren't serious about their careers wear beards, or whatever the statement might be. It's obviously not a true statement, but that doesn't make it a false statement either. It's a statement of perception.
Mm. Sure. Well, look at all the politicians that we've been discussing.
Right. And that's a great way. It's a great thing to look at. First, all the politicians had no beards. Then all the politicians had beards.
Mm.
With Abraham Lincoln started it.
Okay.
Before that, no beards, period. Now, some of them had wigs, but they didn't have beards. And then it went to mustaches. All the politicians had mustaches. And then it's no mustache. I think Hitler killed off the mustache a little bit.
Well, at least the small ones.
and we haven't gotten to the coming back with a politician with a beard. And I don't know. Like, I've got nothing to say about it. I don't know. I'm just curious.
If The Rock grows a beard before he runs for president and wins, that will usher in the era of the bearded politician.
If The Rock runs for president, will you register and vote?
No.
No, I will. I would. That'd be fine. No. I mean, if I had to give up something, I wouldn't.
We don't need President Camacho at all.
Look, you're going to get a president, dude. Like, there's no scenario here where you don't get one. So,
but I can at least go like he's not my president because I didn't vote for any of them.
There's no way to smell what he's cooking.
Right. Well, he's not.
Now, there is some foreshadowing here because.
I think I'd call him center right if I had to.
When Obama was running for his first election. He had The Rock do. So he did some appearances with him, and he sort of bastardized, parodied The Rock's phrase. He's like, "Can you smell what Barack is cooking?"
Mm.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah. So you know, there's some foreshadowing here of The Rock and potential.
Well,
presidency.
And The Rock put out a sitcom basically going like, "What if I ran for president?" And I'm pretty sure that that's a like one of those balloon floaters to see how people react to it.
Right.
I think people have reacted pretty positively to it.
Well, there you go.
Here's the presidential race I would like to see then, if The Rock is going to run. I would also like to see Jesse Ventura run. Right.
Isn't and those he really would be, like old as dirt?
Have you seen the president? Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen most of the presidents? They're all old as dirt.
Will he regrow his mustache for this presidential run?
Or, you know, some other, like The Undertaker. Let's have him run against The Rock.
We need a 7-foot president. That's right? What we need. Yeah,
And a cage match.
Or Kane, since Kane is already a local politician.
I would take Kane in a heartbeat. Okay. I would register and vote for Kane. I would return from my residency from the CNMI. I would come to the United States, whatever it took. I would register and vote if Kane ran.
Glenn Jacobs, by the way.
Glenn
Mayor
Jacobs,
of Knox,
yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
We are out of time. Thanks for listening,
Knox
everybody. Mark, thanks for coming and sitting in.
Shorting.
This has been Free Talk Live. Thanks and peace.
Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 27th through July 3rd for the 6th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out for the first time in 2021. ForkFest takes place the week after ForkFest, but ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 27th through July 3rd. There's no better place to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. ForkFest.party.